Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you, visitors and regulars, to the Sunday morning worship service this morning. I want to take a few minutes to look at some announcements. First of all, I understand that Norman had a birthday this week, and I greeted him this morning and wished him a happy birthday, and I asked him what number this was. And so if some of you are wondering, I know now. He looked at me with kind of a strange look, and he said, "What number comes after 21? So... so now you know. Happy 22nd birthday, Norman. This morning also is the morning that David Penner is being baptized at Calvary Temple in Winnipeg. We rejoice with David on making this step of obedience to publicly state his faith in Jesus Christ. And let's remember him and his family in our prayers, and also as he continues his journey with the Teen Challenge program there. This past Friday was the funeral for Helen Friesen, and the family would like to thank all those who supported and helped them through this time. Those who helped with serving the meal, ushering the sound booth, and to our caretakers as well. Let's continue to remember that family in prayer. Also, Gertrude Rempel, sister-in-law to Bill and Tina, passed away this week. She was a longtime member of the Gretna Church when we were there. And her funeral will take place at the Otona Burgtaler Church on Tuesday. So let's continue to keep this family in our prayers. Rudy is inviting anyone who would like to take part in some catechism classes to check with him. He would like to begin those shortly, so he would like to begin those actually the Sunday following retreat. So contact him if you're interested in coming. Also, just one more thing here. If you're interested in coming to our retreat, please sign up soon. We would like to know how many people are coming. Just to let you know, Walter Hebert is going to be our guest speaker, and he is a longtime teacher at MCI, and he's a very high-energy, fun-loving, wonderful storytelling teacher. And I think you'll enjoy him, but he's got a lot of really good insight as well. So sign up soon, and please join us there. And I'm going to invite Rudy up to make an announcement.
As some of you might have been made aware of, this past week has been a rather tumultuous one for Jamie and Cody Falk. They have discovered that Tinley, who has not been doing well at times, has been back and forth to the doctor a number of times, has a form of leukemia called acute lymphoblastic leukemia. As far as leukemia, or as far as cancers go, this is supposedly, as they put in quotation marks, the best one that there is. It's more curable, or treatable, I should say, than other types of cancers are. It's a cancer of the blood and the bones. And I think it's helpful just to know that it's a cancer where the white blood cells do not fully mature, and they multiply at a rapid pace. And because they do not mature, they no longer fight infection. And because they multiply so rapidly, they take over the healthy cells as well. It's a rapidly growing cancer, needs to be treated immediately. A normal count for your white blood cell is anywhere between 5 to 15,000. 10 lees on Tuesday was 11,000. By Wednesday, it was 30,000. That's how quickly that could multiply. And the sooner you catch that, the better. They did manage to catch that early, and she has received some chemotherapy already. The chemo will wipe out both the cancer cells and the healthy white blood cells, which will make her very susceptible to infections. That's why she needed to be in isolation. And after the chemo treatments, she will be able to come home and yet have to be in very safe places away from the general public for at least a month. It's been a tough go for a five-year-old, I believe. She continues to ask, why do people hurt me? And why do we have to have all this medications and all these needles and all these different tests? And because of all the different medications she's on, in terms of antibiotics and morphine and constant fluid drain, she's subject to a lot of mood swings. She has some very manic high and lows. And Jamie says, we're going to need a lot of patience. And the family's going to need a lot of patience. And this is not something that they were expecting, but are now in the Children's Hospital in Winnipeg. I think, as we can well imagine, this is difficult. And it's difficult to see a child in that kind of condition. It's difficult for parents and grandparents and everybody involved. I thought appropriate to read a couple of verses out of Psalm 28. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me. Lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication as I cry to you for help, as I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Then he ends the psalm with these words, blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. So I am helped, and my heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Let's bow to pray. Lord, when you were on earth, in the midst of the busyness of your life, you took time to bless the children. And you had harsh words for anyone who would dare to harm them. This morning we lift up Tenley Falk, who is struggling to make sense of all that is happening to her, of what's going on inside of her and why is this happening. Lord, we would pray that you would surround her bed and her room with the light of your presence and your comfort. Through restless nights and the blurriness of medication, may you, in your mercy, bring healing and wholeness. For Jamie and Cody, for Scarlett and Cyrus and Shiloh, and for grandparents Rod and Ange and Linda and Randy, we pray that you would provide patience and energy and consistent courage to trust that you are still their shepherd, that you are the one who will carry them when their own resources have long run out. Be to them a refuge, a strong fortress in this time of uncertainty and struggle. We give you thanks for skilled medical staff. Enable them with wisdom, with care, and compassion. Thank you that you are our good shepherd, the one we can trust in all places and phases of our lives. Thank you that you go with us always. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jamie was suggesting that rather than trying to answer a lot of people's calls and keep in touch with people who are wanting to keep up with what's happening, she has created a website where you can follow, and she will update that regularly. If you have a pen, I would just give that to you, and if you want to jot that down, I'll let you know how that's spelled. It's simply called Tenley's Journey Let's just go with, yeah, Tenley's Journey, T-E-N. L-E-Y-S, Tenley's Journey, all one word, .wordpress.com. And you can find any updates that would be listed there. Tenley's Journey, .wordpress.com.
To call us to worship this morning with God's words of welcome from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. And from John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me shall not hunger, and those who believe in me shall never thirst. We bow for prayer. Jesus, bread of life, we are hungry for you today, and we need you. Feed us, Lord. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to sing a song written by a radical man. It was written by a man for writing these songs, almost got excommunicated from his church. And he is the same guy that wrote Joy to the World 300 years ago. And so we're going to sing another one of his songs, page 50. I sing the mighty power of God. And we serve a radical God, a healing God, a strong God. Let's stand and sing out, I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the praise of the Lord.
I'll invite the ushers up to take the offering, please. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you satisfy our desires with good things. We give back to you out of the abundance you've given us. May these gifts multiply again your love in the world. Father, we give you thanks for the life of Helen Friesen and the legacy she's left in her family and in our church family. Would you continue to surround her family both with your comfort and your love? And we ask this also for the family of Gertrude Rempel as they prepare to say goodbye to her on Tuesday. We lift David Penner up to you today as he takes the step of obedience to declare his faith in you through baptism. Hold him close and encourage his heart as he walks the journey to freedom from addictions at Teen Challenge. We also lift Tenley Falk up to you and her family. We place them into your hands and into your care and keeping as they face some difficult months ahead. We thank you, Father, that this is a family that knows you and knows they can look to you as the source of their strength and their courage. And so we ask that you give Tenley courage as she endures treatments, and that you give Jamie and Cody your peace as they walk with her. We ask for your protection, your guidance and your courage for those who serve in faraway places. We thank you for their willingness to serve. We ask this for Laura and her family in the church in Kinshasa, for Ryan Thiessen in San Carlos, for Murray and Carol Hansberger in Papua New Guinea, for those who serve in Eagle's Wings in Uganda, for John and Natalie in Thailand, for Tyler Lowen in Cambodia, for Andrea Fair in Hawaii, and for Abe and Viola in North Carolina. Father, we pray for your church here in Rosetown. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ through whom we can encourage one another and worship together and walk beside one another. We ask that you make your way plain for us and that you give us unity as together we seek to be faithful to you alone. We ask all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Children, I want to invite you forward. Luke has a story for you.
Right. Good morning. So, I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you guys have ever been to a store and bought something, maybe with one of your parents or something? Yeah? You've been to the grocery store or some other place? Yeah? So when you go in there, you grab, you know, your broccoli and your Brussels sprouts and a little bit more broccoli and, you know, all these other things. So then... You can just walk out with that, right? You just like grab it. No? But that's what it's for, right? It's just to get food. Lindsay, what? You have to pay. Ah. Oh, I was hoping we wouldn't get to that, but okay, so we have to pay for it. All right. So I go to the cashier and they say, "All right, this is worth $5." Okay, so She's looking for a piece of paper that has $5 on it, right? So I've got this piece of paper right here. And here, I'll just put a little 5 on it. This will be good, right? Why not? What's the matter with this? It says 5 right there. Oh, well, I can put that on there. I can put a... There we go. It's got a dollar sign on it and everything. Special made. Well, I know that $5 is supposed to be blue, right? So I've got some blue paper here. I got it has blue. I can put the 5 and the dollar sign. Bam. It's fake. There's a see-through piece on there. That would be difficult. That certainly would be difficult. Well, you know, I hear them making them out of plastic these days. I've got a plastic piece of blue something here. It's got 25 on it. It says, "This has got to be good." It's a gift card. Yeah. Well, I guess they wouldn't really like this at that store. Well, this one looks really fancy. See, it says Monopoly on it. It's got a 50. It's the same color and everything. Well, I guess I'll just have to give them one of these, won't I? That's the one. That's the one. You guys got me. I guess I'll have to give up one of these. So, now I'm going to ask you guys a really tough question. Why do they want this exactly? Why is this worth $5 and this one isn't? That's right. And this is... Yeah, Lindsay? Yes, there's a picture of a famous person. Yep. That certainly helps. But there's one specific thing that I want to point out. I don't know if you've ever looked at this before, but right in the corner... It's really hard to see, but there are two people who have signed it. It says the governor and the deputy governor. They've signed it and they've said, this is worth $5. That's right. The government says so. That's why. So they've signed it and they said that is worth $5. And they signed it and boomsh, I can buy my groceries with this. Now, this is going somewhere. So we're going to look. There's a passage in the Bible right at the beginning in the first chapter. It says, right when God's finished creating the world and everything, it says, so God created people in his own image. It's like, we can't see it, but it's like he signed his name on us and said, that is worth my life. A bazillion, kajillion dollars, he just signed it and said, that is worth that, and bamsh, it became worth that much. Just like the government says, this is worth $5, and bamsh, I can buy my groceries with it. So God's word is so powerful. His signature on you is so powerful that it makes you valuable. And he was considered you so valuable, each and every one of you, that he said it was worth my life. So I've got this $5 bill. Here, just give me a second. So now, what would happen if I lost this $5 bill? It's just like, oh, it's gone. Where'd it go? Oh no, I lost my $5 bill. Anyone know where it is? Because it's up. Oh, phew. Oh, I thought I'd lost it. See, yes, it was in my hair the whole time. But you see, it's like what God was thinking throughout the Bible. The Bible talks about the story of how he created us, he signed us, and then he started to lose us. We started walking right out of his wallet. We started walking away, and he's like, oh no, I'm going to lose them. Where'd they go? And so he thought we were so valuable that he not only spent a ton of time trying to get us back into his pocket, but he also decided to die for us, to give up himself so that he could have us back. And that is worth a whole lot more than I'd be willing to give with this $5 bill. So let's pray and thank God for this. Thank you, God, that you value each and every one of us so much that you are willing to die for us. We thank you for how wonderfully you've made us. And we are so grateful that you've considered us worth it. Thank you for all the ways in which you've showed us that we are valuable in your eyes. Help us to remember this. Amen. Yes, can you go back?
Thank you, Lou. The next two songs that we're going to sing, Seek Ye First, the Kingdom of God. Seek Ye First, yeah, is the first one. There's three verses, and we'll sing the first verse together, and then as we continue the second and third, some of you know the Alleluia that you can sing along with. So let's do that. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Next song, You Are My All in All. And again, after we sing the first verse, some of you like to repeat the first verse as we go on to sing the chorus, Jesus, Lamb of God. So I'm sure you're familiar with that.
This morning we are continuing in our series on the Lord's Prayer, and the part of the Lord's Prayer we're focusing on today is from Matthew 6:11, give us today our daily bread. Our scripture reading for today comes from John chapter 6, verses 32 to 34. The context for this, Jesus is doing some teaching here. He has just fed the 5,000. We have the story of him walking on water. And he is on the other side of the lake now. And the people are looking to him for some kind of sign. Someone says, Moses gave us bread from heaven when we were in the desert, gave us manna. And Jesus says to them in verse 32, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen and still you do not believe. Esther, we welcome your words to us this morning.
Good morning. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that intercedes for us when we don't know how to express ourselves. Our hearts are heavy this morning. Teach us again, Lord, just as Christ taught his disciples. We invite you by the Holy Spirit to continue that work in our lives today. Soften our hearts. Draw us to you. We invite your Spirit to join us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. In the very middle of this great prayer, Jesus switches the emphasis from something as majestic as the will of God to the topic of earthy bread. That might seem unusual, a curious switch of ideas, but is it really? It is one of our human tendencies to tuck things away into neat little boxes. One box over here we call holy, sacred, spiritual, the things that can't change. The other box over here we label everyday, life, secular, the simple things, or maybe rather insignificant. During the time that I was preparing for this sermon, I've received several difficult messages. One was a long conversation with someone who wanted to share with me about her daughter's anxiety attacks and how they were crippling her daily activities. Another called about a family member whose surgery had gone wrong, or a friend whose cancer showed its ugly head again. Matthew called and asked about Carl's perspective on life and money. We spoke about his anger at God and how he needs his dad, and how that is affecting his life. And then a call for prayer for Jamie and Cody and their family. What do I do with these heavy conversations? My brain can't make sense of any of it. Is this life, or is this holy ground? And where is God in all of this? Do I put these things into the secular box, into the sacred box? Life is messy, and it doesn't allow itself to be put into just one of two boxes. And I don't think God ever really intended life to be that way, in separate boxes. The fact of the matter is that anything touched by the presence of God has upon it sacred significance. That is why, all through the Scriptures, God's people are instructed to live their lives always conscious of the abiding presence of Christ. When we do this, then even the most mundane objects, activities, or conversations assume enormous importance. It should not surprise us, then, that Christ should include in this great holy prayer a request for daily food. It is, after all, the very basis of our existence. This applies whether we are dealing with physical or spiritual aspects of our lives. The two realms are really continuous and very intertwined. However, to help us focus, for this morning we'll take a look at the physical part of the request first. The petition teaches us to pray for daily bread, that is, food for today, for the upcoming day. Philip Yancey, in one of his books, suggests that prosperity may dilute our prayers. He says, "In my travels, I have noticed that Christians in developing countries spend less time pondering the effectiveness of prayer or reading about prayer and more time actually praying. The wealthy rely on talent and resources to help solve immediate problems, and insurance policies and retirement plans to secure the future. We can hardly pray with sincerity, "Give us this day our daily bread," when the pantry is stocked with a month's supply of provisions. During our time in Bolivia, we certainly would have found the same to be true. The fervency and expectation that accompanied our friends' prayers in this country often put me to shame. So this part of the prayer teaches us to live one day at a time and not to worry and be anxious about the distant and the unknown future. It fits well with Matthew 6:25. "Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on." Just as he provided for the wild birds and the wild flowers, so he has provided enough for us. In the same way that birds search for their food and that flowers must extend their leaves to the sun for sunlight and their roots to the soil for moisture and nutrients, so we too must actively extend ourselves. We must remember that all the many resources put at our disposal are really gifts from God. By implication, this petition gives God his proper place. It admits that from God we receive the food which is necessary to support life. Our food is a direct gift from God. James 1 verse 7, we are told, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights." It is true that the living seed comes from God, but it is equally true that it is our task to grow and cultivate that seed. Dick Shepherd tells a story of a man who had been given a piece of land. With a lot of work, he had cleared away the stones, pulled weeds, fertilized and watered the soil until it produced an abundance of flowers and vegetables. One evening, as he was showing a friend around his garden, the friend commented, "Isn't it amazing what God can do with a bit of ground like this?" "Yes," said the man who had put in all the hard work, "but you should have seen this bit of ground when God had it to himself." God's bounty and our work must combine. When we pray this petition, we are recognizing two basic truths. One, that without God we can do nothing. And the other, without our effort and cooperation, God can do nothing for us. We should also note that these verses do not say, "Give me my daily bread," or "Give me all that I can consume on myself." It reads, "Give us our daily bread." When Jesus was on earth, he was deeply concerned about the hungry crowds. He did not spare himself or his disciples in seeing to it that they were properly fed. The prayer teaches us not to be selfish in our prayers. This prayer is not only a prayer that we may receive our daily bread, it is also a prayer that we may share our daily bread with others, and in this way be an answer to their prayers. This is part of feeding the hungry and giving water to the thirsty, which Jesus pointed out to be of such importance in Matthew 25, starting at verse 35. In my study of this passage, I was struck by the many other references to bread throughout the Bible. Among many others, it seems quite significant to me to compare the giving of manna on a daily basis to the children of Israel for so many years in the desert to this petition for our daily bread. It is also relevant that Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life. And this later reference I'd like to explore for a few minutes. It's important to note that Christ's primary concern was not with the bread used only to sustain our physical frames. His outlook and approach to all of men's problems embraced the whole of man, his body, his mind, his spirit. There is just as much need for a man's soul and his spirit to be nourished daily as there is need for his body to be maintained. When tested by Satan in the desert, Christ himself says in Luke 4:4, it is written that man should not live by bread alone. Interestingly, Jesus is here repeating a phrase Moses used in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. In Deuteronomy, Moses is addressing the children of Israel and reminding them of the laws of God. Verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8 reads, "And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and then fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." I think I'd like to read those verses again, just to let them sink in. Moses is addressing the children of Israel, and he is reminding them of the laws of God he had given them earlier. This is the quotation. "And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but that man lives by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Provision for our physical need is not sufficient to sustain us in soul and spirit. We cannot live a meaningful life if we don't have nourishment for our souls. So if we are to be honest and practical in this prayer, we need to take advantage of the gifts offered to us each day for the nourishment and stimulation of our souls. As essential as physical bread is in our lives, more important is spiritual nourishment. Do you ever think about that when you pray the Lord's Prayer? It is interesting that Christ should request bread when he himself said that he was the bread from heaven. But remember that this was the prayer Jesus was teaching us to pray. We need this daily replenishing of our spirit from God our Father. On earth, Jesus spent many hours praying and connecting with his Father. I'd like to read a short passage from John 6. It's the one that Kathy already read. And thank you, Kathy, for that background on it. John 6, verse 32. "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Just as God is the giver of all temporal gifts, he is also the giver of spiritual sustenance. Verse 32, he said, "It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." To come to Jesus is to eat spiritual bread. As with the manna, we must come to him regularly, daily, to receive nourishment from God. Bread sustains life. Bread is that without which there is no life. Bread is essential for life, both in the physical and the spiritual perspective. To put it another way, Jesus is the essential without which real life can neither begin nor go on. Once we know him and accept him and receive him, all the unsatisfied longings, all the insatiable desires of the heart and the soul are gone. The restless soul is at rest, and the hungry heart is satisfied. The invitation is to all men, and the invitation is to receive and to take. The bread of life is ours for the taking and then asking. The only way to that new relationship is through Jesus. Our Lord made it very clear to come to him was to eat spiritual bread. As with physical bread, we have to come to him regularly to get nourishment from God. We need a daily dose of Jesus if we're to stay alive. There's a bit of mystery to all of this, but that's not really very surprising. Even at our best, we humans cannot really grasp the unique and wonderful ways of God. In his mercy, he so often uses physical concepts to explain spiritual truths so that we might gain some understanding of what he means. I'd like to read a short excerpt from a writing of Philip Keller, which talks about bread. What is bread? It is the living kernels of grain, broken, crushed, bruised, and ground into fine flour. This flour is mixed with salt, water, and yeast. It is kneaded, shaped into loaves, then allowed to rise. After that, it is baked to a beautiful brown. In this new form as bread, the life of the grain provides life to those who eat it. The life of wheat is thus transmitted to man through the process of death and subsequent assimilation. By a similar series of processes, the life of God in Christ has been made available to us. Our Savior became God's grain. It was he who was broken and bruised at Calvary. He there took upon himself our sins and ourselves. Out of that crushing, out of the grave, out of death itself, emerged the risen and resurrected one. He thus became God's bread for us. Just as there is an enormous difference between the bare kernels of grain and a loaf of bread, so there is a remarkable difference between Jesus of Nazareth and the risen Lord. The life of the wheat is limited to the kernel until it is crushed and milled. So the life of God in Christ is confined to his single earthly body until after his death and resurrection. Then he became available to all men everywhere by his Spirit. In this way, any man who hungers for bread from heaven, for the very life from God, for the vitality of Christ, may find him available through his Spirit. With this, then, as a background, we can better understand Christ as the bread from heaven. The prayer becomes a request for more of him. It's not just a casual request to fill our already full bellies with more food. It expresses a deep, desperate yearning to have the risen Christ made real in me today. O Father, give us this day our daily bread. O Father, let the very life of our resurrected Son, my Lord, the risen Christ, become my life today. This daily bread on which I feed will bring subtle yet profound changes in my personal lifestyle. After all, it is Christ himself who, by his Holy Spirit, is permeating my whole being. Gradually, I find myself less and less preoccupied with a sham and front, pretense and pretext of a secular world. Pride and passion that demand so much of men will no longer hold me in their grip. My foolish pride, my trivial vanity will be seen for the childish, selfish characteristics that they are. It's been said, you are what you eat. If we feed our souls and spirits on God's bread from heaven, it makes sense that our lives will change. So along with the request for physical bread and daily care from our Heavenly Father, acknowledging that he provides for our very need, let's also plead for a daily dose of more of Jesus to mold and shape us. Thank you.
Let's respond by taking our hymnal and singing 222, Break Thou the Bread of Life. And let's stand, please.
Let's bow to pray. Lord, thank you for your generosity in taking care of us. We acknowledge that all we have and all we are comes from you. Thank you for providing for all our needs, both physical and spiritual. You have taught us to ask for more of you daily. We want to learn that lesson well. Please create in us an insatiable hunger for more of your word, more of your spirit, more of you. Then, as you present the opportunities, help us to follow through and fill our plates so that we might be more like you. Thank you, Father, for your love and goodness. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.